Now, we take you back to the night of May 5th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Once again, the world beneath, and Bonnie Crystal. Bonnie, welcome back. You've been here a long time. Bet you've never done a four-hour talk show before, huh?
Well, it's certainly a good time here, and I've never reached this many listeners before on this sort of station.
By the way, can they email you on your site?
Yes, you can email me at caverwoman, C-A-V-E-R-W-O-M-A-N.
Right.
At AOL.com.
Excellent. Caverwoman.
And you can get to the site through the link at the artbell.com site.
All right. Let's bring back our caller. Sir, you're back on the air. You had two questions. You got one out. What's the other?
Okay, my other one was, your guest mentioned spiders before in the caves, large ones.
Big ones, yeah.
Yes, and I was wondering, especially at the lower levels, do you run across many poisonous species of insect or animal life?
Oh.
Yes. I have. Fortunately, none of them have stung me yet. But in the tropics, where you have jungle caves, some of these jungle caves have some of the most life forms as far as crawly animals and that sort of thing. You find in this one area, like place where I was in Borneo, where there was in the cave there were these fire centipedes.
Fire centipedes.
And they have the sting of death. And then, you know, the spiders, some of the poisonous spiders, they're as big as your outstretched hand. When you look at them with your headlamp, they have green eyes. Sort of have retro reflector green eyes, and you can look through the cave and see all these little bitty green eyes looking at you.
Oh, no. Really?
You need to wear gloves so you watch where you put your hands and stuff when you're climbing around in that environment or swimming through it.
Oh, God. Little green eyes while you're swimming underground. No way.
But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That and jumping from the Empire State Building onto a tack. Listen, the jungles of Borneo you mentioned here are places where they have headhunters. Now, these are people who do exactly what it sounds like they do. They hunt heads, human heads.
That's true.
Have you ever run into a group of these folks?
Yes, in fact, one of them was a Sherpa for me to help me carry some of the gear to the entrance of the cave.
Really?
He wouldn't go in the cave. He was afraid of going in the cave.
Did you find him sort of longingly looking at your neck?
Well, I couldn't speak his language. He understood that I would give him money if he carried some of my video equipment that I wanted to video the cave with.
But if he had your head, then he'd have your video equipment and your money.
Yeah, I gave him an LED flashlight. He was satisfied with that. It's part of their religion. They still practice this. But
what
it's not as much as before.
Good. What is the concept between taking one's head? I mean, obviously it's some sort of religious or spiritual thing for them. What does it mean to them? Do you have any idea to take a person's head?
It's part of a ritual to gain power. And I don't totally understand their religion. If I did, I might be able to speak better on the subject. But as I know it, the only thing that is still practiced there is maybe the taking of a head to put underneath the foundation of a house to make sure that the house will be blessed for its existence. But other than that, it's been illegal in Borneo since the early 1900s to practice this. But
speaking with
some people who know, they still do
it. On, yeah. Well, a lot of things here are illegal and they still are done too. First time caller line, you're on the air with Bonnie Crystal and Art Bell. Hi.
Hi, Bonnie.
You're going to have to speak up good and loud, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Santa Rosa, California, listening on KSRO 1350.
Yes, indeed.
Bonnie gets my vote for most interesting guest in the time I've been listening to you.
All right.
Two questions for Bonnie. 35 years ago in Kentucky, I crawled into a shallow, horizontal dirt cave. It wasn't a limestone cave, and it was twice my body size and got narrower quickly. 20 or 30 feet back in there, there were tree roots growing through the cave and through the open air in the cave and back into the other wall. And there was a little water dripping from them. And I assumed it was live tree roots. And unfortunately, I reached up and touched them. And about a 3-inch section broke off. And it was a hollow tube where stone, they were actually stone roots, but the coloration looked live. And I had a tube in my hand of stone that was about a 32nd, maybe only a 64th of an inch thick. And I'm wondering, how long would it take for that to have formed? Do you have any idea?
Probably about 20,000 years.
What a shame I touched it. The other question was, I'm coming to a stage in my life where I'm going to have time to do some caving again, which I've done very little. How do you get involved with modern cave groups? Where would you look?
Good question.
Yeah, the main organization here in the USA is called the NSS, National Speleological Society. It is a group that you can join, and there's a link to it from my website to your local grotto of the NSS or local chapter of the NSS. And through that, through the local grottos, you can get to know other cavers, and also a really great way of doing it is going to one of the national parks that has a cave, like Wind Cave, Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, or Mammoth Cave, and going on one of their wild cave tours. Now, the NSS, you can reach them at their number at 256-852-1300, 256-852-1300, and that's the NSS in Huntsville, Alabama.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling, sir. Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Bonnie Crystal and Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Larry from Fort Lauderdale.
Hi, Larry.
I just wanted to put a second of that vote that this is one of the most interesting shows, and I think it's caught us all by surprise. I think, like you said earlier, a lot of our thoughts about Down Under was just taken from the old Journey to the Center of the Earth movie, and I think that her descriptions are so good that it just sort of revitalizes the old art of storytelling, you know, from one person to another.
Indeed.
Telling us, you know, in places that we haven't gone. My question, I had a couple of questions for Bonnie, and one was, has she ever brought any equipment down and got, like, barometric pressures? Is that change as you go deep into the earth or even under the lake?
Right.
Yes, we use a barometer. Actually, it's called an altimeter.
Huh.
We use it to tell how deep we've gone. So, yes, we carry, in some cases, we carry altimeters, and now you can get them on wristwatches.
Well, does it work, like, in reverse? I mean,
it does. And as you go deeper, it corresponds to approximately how deep you are in the cave.
So the pressure increases?
Right. As you get lower down towards the surface of the earth or under the surface of the earth.
What about any magnetic changes? Have you ever seen anything strange where...
Actually, I was going to... Let me modify that, caller. If she mentioned that there may be mines that go down 60,000 feet in Africa. Now, if you go up 60,000 feet, there's serious changes that begin to occur. If you go down 60,000 feet, one could almost imagine gravitational changes.
Well, there certainly is radiation down there. There's radon. And that's one of the aspects of science that I'm a radio speleologist. And I study the radiation that's in caves. Now, the gravity itself is about the same as the rest of the Earth. There is a difference in magnetism, in some caves, like volcanic caves that are in basalt rock that's been formed by volcanoes, and that tends to have its own kind of magnetic deflection. So you have to watch out if you're using a compass underground in those situations. But, and there's also a study of paleomagnetism that can only be done in caves. And what that does is it shows how the Earth's magnetic field has shifted over the eons. So the North Pole hasn't always been exactly where the North Pole is now. It's shifted. And the study of paleomagnetism or ancient magnetism through taking stalagmites and core samples of stalagmites in caves can tell us, among other things, where the magnetic field was situated, as well as what the climate was like in different areas of the Earth's history.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you very much, sir. Anything else?
Well, I was going to ask her if she ever ran into that Air Force digging machine going by when she was down there, but we'll save that for another time.
All right. We actually had a photograph of an Air Force boring machine.
Right.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah. It is available for cave rescue. We've never had to use it before, but...
It is?
It's available for cave rescue.
You mean like a DSRV for underwater?
It's an amazing machine. They can deliver it by helicopter to a place. You need a big landing zone.
Wow.
To use it, and I can't think of an instance where we would want to call one in, because it would totally obliterate the cave, and there's other ways to do it. But there is the National Cave Rescue Commission, which is an organization that trains cave rescuers, has this at their disposal.
Bonnie, kind of a far-out question, but do you think that our government or any governments on the Earth have done any secret, serious, far underground research and experimentation that we don't know about?
It's very possible, Art. And there's been a lot of experimentation done with not only communication through the rock, but, I mean, they load up the Upper Peninsula and Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a signal and communicate with stuff right through the rock. So I don't know what other countries have done in secret, but certainly in Nevada and New Mexico, there's been a lot of underground activity.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, they want to store nuclear waste underground.
Yes, I know.
So they're doing all the study in order to do that.
Do you have any comments on that? I mean, I live not that far from...
A proposed nuclear site,
the Yucca area, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they going to do with it, you know? It's a dilemma for everyone. It'd be better if they didn't make it in the first place, but, you know, the fact of the matter is it's already in existence.
Okay, but from what I understand, it's going to require that this stuff be stored safely for, in many cases, tens of thousands of years. Now, it's not that I don't have faith in our government, but we haven't ever done anything for tens of thousands of years as a human race. Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
Right.
So to safely store this stuff and to assume that it will not reach a water table in some earth movement over a period of tens of thousands of years, I don't know, Bonnie. I'm not real happy about having it in my backyard.
Yes, and, you know, there are better places to put it, like the salt caves in Texas that are more stable.
Yeah, I know, but they've got more political oomph down there.
Yeah.
And we've got less, so guess who loses?
Yeah.
All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bonnie Crystal. Hi.
Hello, Bonnie. Hello, Art.
Hi.
This goes along with the caller before with the barometric pressure.
Yes.
But the content of air, Bonnie. Does it have more oxygen? I mean, have you done any testing with that?
There's been a lot of study of that. And it depends a lot on whether or not there is any kind of organic material growing in the cave. Sometimes the organic material or organisms can make more CO2, carbon dioxide, or sulfuric acid in the environment can make some change the environment somewhat of the air. But by and large, it's pretty good air down there.
I would think so.
And there's a certain amount of air that comes and goes throughout the cave.
Do you ever bring any seismic equipment to, like, if you're in a cave, to see if there's another chamber, you know, that isn't far?
Oh, yeah.
There's been some amount of study towards finding of cave through electronic means.
X-ray topography, that sort of thing?
Right.
You know, one of the stated goals of the HARP project in Alaska, believe it or not, is to find underground tunnels and caves. And I don't know if you're caught up on... Are you caught up on HARP at all?
Yes. That is one of the purposes, the supposed purposes of it. And it may be possible to do that. And I'd sure like to use some of those techniques to find some of the deeper caves.
Hmm. I wonder if they'll tell us what they find. Somehow I have serious doubts. One more. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bonnie Crystal. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Where are you?
There was a big noise on the line right before you answered. I'm at Chula Vista, California.
Chula Vista.
Robert.
All right, Robert.
Hello, Bonnie. Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi.
A question about 29 Palms area, California. You do anything on caves there? Supposed to be a large underground lake up there.
Well, the ones that are on military facilities, we don't have access to. Yeah. But there are caves in just about every area of the U.S.
What about Santa Monica Mountains area?
I couldn't really say exactly. One of the things that cavers don't give out exact locations, but yeah, there are.
What about here near where I am? It's a place called Crystal.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely caves around there. And, you know, some of the caves around there are actually fairly dangerous. I don't know which ones you were talking about there, Art, but...
Well, there's one there with a seemingly bottomless pit filled with water and with a pupfish, the endangered pupfish.
Right, yes. That's part of Death Valley.
That's correct.
It's a very small part of area of Death Valley where they've got it fenced in. And actually, they lost a couple of cave divers in that a while back.
Yeah, very dangerous. That's amazing. All right, well, listen, you've been a real sweetheart. What would you like to plug? Anything you want to plug?
Well, just the fact that it's such a dangerous activity. Don't go out there and go caving without getting good training and good knowledge of it. If you want more information, you can go to my site. Go to Art Bell's website or call the National Speleological Society.
And one more time, you've got an email address too, right?
Yes. Caverwoman@AOL.com.
Caverwoman@AOL.com. You want to have some fun, Bonnie? When you get off here, why don't you go on 75 meters on 3830 and talk to some hams?
Okay, we'll do that. We'll be on lower sideband. 3.830.
3830, folks. Bonnie will be there in about 10 minutes. I might be there in 15 or so. So if you want to talk to Bonnie and you're a ham, 3830, following the show, which is just about right now. Bonnie, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Sure has been, Art.
Good night. That's Bonnie Crystal. And if you'd like to talk to her and you're a ham, she's going to be on 3830 in a minute or so. For me, that's it this night. I'll see you tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about contrails, William Thomas, and the story that just won't go away about contrails above us. I'm Art Bell. Good night.